This is an ENN special report. Now reporting.
Michael, you into Grandma Pie?
No.
ENN's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
It's in Pompano Beach.
Mom!
Tom Thibaut Diaw.
Now, from the ESPN New York News Desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to ENN on a Wednesday evening. I'd like to start off by saying good evening to Michael.
Thin the slap.
Thin the slap?
And then I'd like to say good evening to Don.
Buffalo Bills went out and got who?
Trey Diggs.
Stephon Diggs, because they said everybody.
Never gets old.
Still brings me so much joy. It's the confidence in the Tay Diggs. That's what I like. Well, guys, I don't know if you're aware of this, but the Yankees won 12-3 yesterday. They're up 1-0 in their series.
No, wait, they won yesterday?
That's right.
They won.
Aaron Judge, a two-run homer. Brett Gardner, all over the place. A double, a homer.
What's up, All Rise?
Giancarlo Stanton found one, got it out. What was it? Who else hit a homer again?
I think Gardner.
I said Gardner.
Oh, Gardner, Stanton, and Judge.
Gleyber Torres.
No, Gleyber. Gleyber Day. That's right. Here's Aaron Boone on why he's going back to Gary Sanchez for game two over Higgy.
Just because I know how capable he is, how talented he is. And again, I go back to, you know, a little bit like Gardy, even though the results weren't great for Gary necessarily down the stretch, I do feel like the last 4 to 6 weeks, the at-bats have been considerably better. And I know the impact he can have with certainly one swing. So hopefully he can provide us something down at the bottom of the lineup and go out there and help lead Massa to a really good start.
Couldn't agree with him more. That was the move to make. And keeping Gardner in there was the move to make.
I got a chuckle last night.
Really? Why?
Oh, I bet I know where you're going.
I know you will. Hmm. So I was going out to get some food after the show.
What'd you get, Don? You don't like to know. What'd you have?
Sub sandwiches.
Okay. Buffalo chicken?
Little meatball hero.
Meatball. Nice.
Guy knows how to live. I mean, he really knows how to live.
But no cheese.
Any chips?
Just sauce.
Any chips?
Joe Capp. Was it the... Is that how... The fries.
Andy
Capp. You know what I'm talking about, Michael?
Joe Capp, the quarterback, didn't make fries. These are Andy Capp.
Andy Capp. Right.
What Joe are Andy Capp?
Joe Capp was the quarterback of the Minnesota Vikings, only quarterback, I believe, to play in a Rose Bowl, a Super Bowl, and a Grey Cup. Anyway, so I'm listening to John and Susan. I don't know if you heard about this.
No.
That apparently the graphics on their monitor weren't working. And for the entire second inning, he was, I don't know the count. I don't have a count. I wish I could give you the count, but you know what? They're not giving me a count. I have no. He wouldn't stop.
Oh, that's
I was like,
amazing.
At some point, why don't you just maybe keep track of the pitches? You know, but it's just, I'd give you the count if I could, but there's no count. Jack Maldonado is working on it for us right now. And Susan's like, this is MLB's fault. This is MLB's fault. I just thought it was very funny.
Wow.
And that's coming from a place of love for the both of them, but
of
it was
of course
very
it is. Sure.
But that is still. Quite comical.
But just knowing, right, Peter, just knowing John, like how that's...
But they were watching the baseball game, weren't they?
They were watching the game, but there were no graphics, so it couldn't tell you what the count was.
And how many batters did this last through, though?
It lasted pretty much the entire top of the second inning.
Because once you get through one batter, you can start over the count.
That's what I thought.
It's very difficult to do play-by-play off a monitor and to keep the count. Stop it.
Cool whip.
2-1.
Well, game two, less than an hour away. You can hear it right here on 98.7 ESPN.
I love
see it on
not
ESPN.
Like.
That's right.
Love, not like the 7 o'clock first pitch postseason. Love it.
It's beautiful. It's beautiful. All right, let's talk NFL COVID for a second, shall we?
Do it.
Always fun.
The NFL has postponed the Steelers-Titans game. Titans. I apologize. Titans. Let's hear from our very own Diana Russini, who was on with Greeny, talking about the options for Titans Steelers.
One option is to play the game on Monday night, and if they don't decide that Monday is a good fit for them, then it will be Tuesday. Now, the things that are factoring into the decision is what the results of the testing will show over the next few days. So, Greeny, we know that the Titans tested positive, or at least 8 members of the organization did, 3 players included, tested positive for COVID. More players that were around those people were tested that day and the next day. And today those results came back with really good news that there was only one person that tested positive. But as we know with this virus, it sometimes incubates and it takes a few days for it to show a positive test. So basically the league really needs to see that the Tennessee Titans don't have an outbreak that is going to be out of control. They want to make sure this is controlled. And once they can figure out that, I think that is when the decision will be made when this game will be played.
Can I make a comment about Diana?
Please.
Please.
She got married on Sunday. She's working today?
I think they just got married and boom. She might have worked Sunday.
No, she didn't work Sunday. Because they showed her on NFL Countdown, showed a picture of her wedding.
So she took off a day?
That's stick-to-itiveness. I mean, it's amazing. There's no honeymoon at all.
She's not messing around.
Save it for something good.
Yeah, what are you doing it for right now?
Well, you're getting married right now.
No, but honeymoon-wise, what are you going
to
do?
We'll have to talk to Diana about this. Diana, tomorrow, maybe we'll get her on, because it doesn't make sense to go to work that quickly after a marriage.
I've known Diana for several years. Never once knew she had a boyfriend. She was engaged. Never heard of it.
So you really don't know her well then?
We've hung out many times. We chatted. I mean, we're not close.
Well, there you have it. You're not close at all.
Not close. If you
not
don't
even
know
close.
She's engaged. We knew she was engaged. She came on the air to
No, I said I didn't know until she got engaged.
Oh, I see.
Well, maybe it was a short courtship.
I think it was.
Now,
I think her husband's name is Kevin.
I don't trust him.
We've seen 2 Monday night games before. We actually saw...
I saw it 2 weeks ago, Don.
No, I'm not for the opener. We saw a couple of years ago, the last year Rex, where the Jets played the Bills in Detroit. Remember that?
Oh, Detroit.
Yeah. So
I got to tell you one thing about Monday Night Football. I think Levy's doing an unbelievable job.
He is.
They're no muss, no fuss, no screaming, no nothing like that. Just do the game. They've been great.
A completion, 7 yards, and there's 12 minutes to go in the second.
Because think about what he's up against, right? Like, you know his work from SportsCenter, and I know it from the years he did hockey, and he did college football a little bit recently, and he did the XFL, but it's not like he was doing it for 20 years and getting a Monday night opportunity. There's a lot of people hearing him doing football for the first time. And, Greasy, if you're not a college football fan, it might be the first time you're getting to know him too. Same with Riddick. So they're going to find their groove. But I'm with you.
They have potential.
Yeah, call the game and make it about the game, which I think is when an announcer is at their best, right? It's not about you. It's about the game. They had a terrific game on Monday. Let it breathe. Great job, I think they're doing.
So, the Vikings have returned, will return to their facility tomorrow under, quote, very enhanced protocols. So they played the Titans this past Sunday. I'm sorry,
Titans.
Michael. That's right. Will you explain why you say that?
No, you'll never know.
The Vikings have had no positive test results. So they are going to return with, quote, very enhanced protocols tomorrow and hope that they don't get any positives. So the Titans announced that one additional player tested positive, but none for the Vikings.
Well, that's not good. I mean, it sounds good. It's only one, but it tells you that it's still an issue.
Maybe I'll tell you why I say Titans when Don tells you about Portland and his new endeavor.
I'm going to tell you about my new endeavor sometime this fall.
How about Portland?
No, doesn't look like that's ever going to happen.
No,
we had a chance.
Is Minnesota fast becoming Loserville?
Oh, yeah.
Because they've got four professional sports franchises, right? Vikings have never won. The Twins have not won. This will be now 30 years because they didn't win this year. So going into next year, it'll be 30 years since their last win. And now, what is it now? 18 straight playoff losses, Michael?
Which is unbelievable.
T-Wolves have never done anything.
No. Nope.
And the Minnesota Wild are as like generic as a plain Pringle. Like there's nothing really
plain
to them at all.
Of course you do.
Not when you got all these lovely flavors and combinations, Michael. The plain Pringles are mail-in.
Let's be honest. The Pringle's not a great chip. Period. It's not in the real conversation of great chips. Any of them. The only thing the Pringle has going for it is a really fascinating container. That's it. Okay. Enough.
Now you got some stacked chips.
Here's the question that I have because I'm a big Pringle guy and the kids love the Pringles.
So they learned it from you.
I got cans galore. Is what does RJ? A can represent in relation to a bag? Like we know, all right, this is a one serving bag where I can have the whole bag for lunch, and then there's certain bags where you're like, you know what, that should be over time.
There's a mini Pringle.
What does the can, though, the full can represent? Is that like a week's worth of Pringles or two lunches worth of Pringles? Like, I don't know.
Isn't it close to a bag? Don, do you have any in your house?
Sure.
It probably says how big a serving is. And then add that up, and we'll compare it to a bag.
You know, why don't you get a bag of chips, empty it out, get a can of Pringles, and empty it into the bag and see. It's not that hard.
That's the thing. My guess is it's a bag. It's very close to a full bag.
Wonderful product. But the planes, you're punting with plane.
And I don't know. It's not my favorite. I really, let's be honest, I'm a kettle chip guy these days. It's the kettle, whatever the kettle means.
The kettle's got flavor, right?
The kettle's changing the chip. The chip business is different with kettle. A barbecue kettle chip? Oh.
Oh.
Michael, you ever eat a barbecue chip?
I hate barbecue chips, but I like kettle chips.
What about a Michael, have you ever indulged in a delightful salt and vinegar chip?
No, I hate that. I hate everything about barbecue sauce. I just like regular potato chips and dipsy doodles. I have had barbecue wings, obviously, in my mouth. Work with barracudas.
All right, let's move along, shall we?
Do it.
Why?
Well, there's still more to get to talk about.
Okay.
The NFL threatens suspensions and a loss of draft picks for mask violations. According to Schefty, a memo came out saying the NFL will, quote, address lack of compliance with accountability measures that may include suspensions and or forfeiture of draft picks.
See? See, baseball? That's what happens when you violate a rule. You want to change something? That's how you do it.
It's amazing to me. Like, one of the rules was you can't chew tobacco. Everybody does. I've seen it every single game.
I've seen spitting galore.
Because if you can't spit, you can't everything. They don't. Don's right. Toothless rules.
If a rule doesn't have a punishment, then it's just a suggestion.
If a tiger didn't have teeth, I'd go into their cage.
Well, they do have claws, Michael. They'll claw you right to death.
No, I don't think so. I can fight the claws. I can't
fight.
They'll
bat you around like a bunny.
Yeah, it's true. Michael, I would pay a lot of money to see you get into a tiger's cage.
All right, we'll try to work it out. Maybe that could be the bet.
Now, a piranha without teeth is a goldfish.
That's a great point by Don.
Excellent.
You could grab it and just kind of slap it around.
But the tiger.
There's no need to get violent with a piranha.
Yeah, just don't have to kill it because it doesn't have teeth. This will straighten it out, right? This is, and it's good with the draft picks because now, like, the owners can say, hey, wear the mask. I don't want to lose a pick.
Michael, I know you'll be excited about this. Patrick Mahomes and his fiance Brittany are expecting their first child.
There you go.
Michael's probably disgusted, by the way. Pre-wedlock. Fiance?
Oh.
Yeah, that's not close enough for Michael.
I gotta tell you. We'd have a game we play at Sports Phone back in the day. Because we'd watch all the TVs, and under the TVs there would be a bookcase with all of the media guides. And you kind of just peruse through.
Sure.
Like any sport, Peter, you would be shocked. And this is going back 25 years ago. Shocked of when the child was born and when the marriage was.
Oh, what the what they have that in the media guides?
Like, yeah, the media guide will some of the media guides will say married Gloria on, you know, 10/15, you know, 03 or something.
All right.
And then they say and their child Jake was born on November 3rd. You know, 2002.
Well, let's be honest. I mean, athletes operate because I guess because of their money. Their whole way of looking at the world is nothing like the rest of society.
But that's
it's insane. The other day I was watching the Celtics game, and they're like, Gordon Hayward, who had a child earlier today. And I'm like, oh, that's exciting. Like, his fourth. I'm like, his fourth. He's like 28.
There is, you know, these norms, these quote unquote the standard, that doesn't apply anymore. You know, yeah, we lived in a world where it was kind of frowned down upon to have a child out of wedlock, was frowned down upon to live with somebody before you got married. Do what you
want. But that's not even what I mean, though. In the case of athletes, though, Don, these kids, okay, the percentage of athletes that marry their high school or college sweetheart compared to the rest of the world, it's the rest of the world does it a thousandth as often as these athletes do. What percentage of time do they come to the league with a girlfriend, marry said girlfriend their rookie year, and have a kid their second year in the league? Compare that to everyone else you knew in their life to what they did the first couple of years of their life. And my guess is it's because they just have an absolutely exorbitant amount of money.
I guess.
So you might as well, but I'm always like, none of you guys wanted to enjoy sort of the fruit of, of this a bit more?
Well, sometimes it's just the stability.
Or they're enjoying it anyway, but still.
I mean, not everybody likes to run around. You know, sometimes it's just, hey, I was dating her. See, this is also the part of it. She fell in love with me before I made it, so now I know I can trust her.
Yeah, that's
this big. Is not someone that is only interested in me because I'm a professional athlete and I got money. You know, when I was trying to make the UConn team, we fell in love with each other in school. She had no idea I was going to become an NBA player. Now I'm an NBA player. She still loves me. That's the person that I want to be. That's the person I can trust with my family and my money. I can understand that. Because think about it. You're not going to be short on people being interested in you once you become famous and become a millionaire. And you'll never know if this person loves you for you or just because you happen to be famous. I think that's actually, you know, if you're really
that might be a big piece of it, Don. That makes sense.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Speaking of the NBA, Jace, let's hear from LeBron on his thoughts on bubble life.
Probably been the most challenging thing I've ever done as far as a professional, as far as committing to something and actually, you know, making it through. I knew what I was coming, what we were coming here for. Obviously, you didn't. I would be lying if I sat up here and knew that everything inside the bubble, the toll that it would take on your mind and your body and everything else. It's been extremely tough, but you know, I'm here for one reason and one reason only, and that's to compete for a championship. And that was my mindset once I entered the bubble, once I entered the quarantine process the first 2 days, and then right from our first practice, my mindset was to, if I'm gonna be here, make the most of it and see what you can do and lock in on what the main thing is. And the main thing was for us to finish the season and compete for a championship. So that's just been my mindset, you know, throughout these, I don't even know how many days it is. Whatever how many days it is, it feels like 5 years. So it really doesn't matter. But I've been as locked in as I've ever been in my career.
Let's hear from Stephen A. on how important this finals series is for LeBron.
You know who people are going to bring up when all is said and done? If LeBron loses this finals, they'll bring up guys like Kobe Bryant that went to 7 NBA finals and won 5. They'll say that LeBron went to 10, but only he's got 3 and he lost 7. And oh, by the way, he's lost more than Michael Jordan has won, even though Michael Jordan is unblemished in NBA finals appearances. They'll bring all of those things up. They'll also bring up Magic. Even though Magic obviously was different, the bottom line is he's got 5 chips.
It's so ridiculous. It's so ridiculous. Are they that bored with their sport? That's the only answer I can give. If you love the sport, you've basically put it down to one conversation every single year. If he loses, all of a sudden he's a tennis player, Peter. Like, what if he goes out there and averages 40 every game and they lose in six? It's his loss? Come on, stop it already. I mean, God, it's such a fun sport to cover if you cover it. There's so many storylines in this final. It's always got to be about LeBron James and his legacy and his chips.
I mean, his legacy is insane. His legacy is that of the top three best players who've ever touched a basketball.
And even it's gone out of control. Like, it used to be a big football conversation, right? Like, oh, how many championships does he have? How great can a quarterback can he be? He hasn't won a championship. You know, John Elway didn't have a championship. Then he won two, and now it's okay. And this one's won one, and this one's won two. Give me a break. Like, Dan Marino wasn't a great quarterback? Jim Kelly wasn't a great quarterback? You're telling me that going to four consecutive Super Bowls isn't as impressive as winning one? But even that pales in comparison to the constant conversation of LeBron's legacy. The guy's 35 years old. He's one of the top five players to ever play the game. And every time he steps on the court, it's going to be about his legacy. I tell you right now, I'll predict it. If they lose tonight, that's going to be the conversation, Peter.
His
legacy. He's not even in the top 10 anymore. He's not even in the top 10. And then they'll win the next four straight, and it'll be, oh, LeBron James is. They're all fraud. All of them are frauds. Honestly, Stephen A., if you love the sport so much, why don't you come up with another conversation? You're an exceptionally talented person. Every first take has got to be about LeBron's legacy. What are these guys going to do when LeBron retires, Peter? What in God's name are they going to do?
I know. Every day, it's a conversation about LeBron's legacy. You're right.
Oh, my God. It's like no other sport. And then they try to do it in the other sports, but it just doesn't gain the traction it does in the NBA. So every time Patrick Mahomes goes on the football field, it's going to be comparing himself to Tom Brady. Is he Tom Brady? He's got to win another Super Bowl to be Tom Brady.
The game's a 9 o'clock or on ABC. Is that correct?
That's right. Every one of them is, I think every one of them is at 9, except Sunday's game is, I think, a 7 tip, if I'm not mistaken, or maybe an 8.
So weird.
And then they're doing it every other day except games 4 to 5. It goes Tuesday, Friday.
This just in, by the way, RJ, get the music ready. You'll know what music I mean. The first pitch of tonight's game, of the Yankee playoff game, will be delayed because of incoming rain in Cleveland. So we'll keep you posted on that, but you got more time to hang out with us.
Well, wait a minute. How much time are you going to be hanging with us?
Well, no, we're still leaving at 7.
Somebody get Carlin on the phone. What do they do if they get rain? Think about what rain can just screw up.
They're
going to
hold on for dear life. They're going to hold on for dear life. They're going to try. My guess is they would start as late as 9 o'clock, 9:30 if they had to. They're going to do whatever they can.
Well, Michael better get his fanny back here then.
Well, they'll probably use Michael Moore now. Yeah. If they have to stall. So Michael had mentioned earlier the Missouri story with Coach Drinkwitz. Drinkwitz.
I'm not familiar with his work.
He's the head coach of Missouri, and he's been talking about the COVID-19 testing situation and how he's bothered with the SEC's policy or lack of policy. On Wednesday's SEC conference call, Drinkwitz expressed frustration that not all of the teams are publicly reporting their COVID cases. Last week, he said he was being transparent on the matter because he said it was, quote, a public health issue. The Tigers had a minimum of 7 players unavailable for their opener against Alabama. He confirmed 4 days before the game. Quote, it's not a competitive advantage issue, he said last week. This is not an injury that we're trying to keep quiet. This is a public health issue. People should know what's going on within our football team as it relates to a pandemic. Today, he said, I really don't know what's going on in the league as far as COVID or COVID-related numbers. There's no uniform system on how we report it or how people talk about it. I don't know other that when coaches have said something about the cases, each week we have no idea what's going on with other teams. So it's kind of a free-for-all as far as that goes. Pretty telling about the college football situation.
You knew it going in, Peter, that the well-being of these players was not on the top of the list. They wanted to get this season going. They'll figure it out as they go along. It was complete bogus. Oh, we got to play because they're safer here. Well, apparently they're not. Especially with the outbreak they're having right now in South Bend. So stop it. And it's a shame because we're talking about kids that got no choice. There's no opting out option, right? I mean, as a professional athlete, yeah, you could decide to opt out. These kids, they don't want to lose a year of eligibility. And even if right. their eligibility comes back, they don't want to hurt their draft standing. They're not making any money. Are they? Is any of them going to be able to? What percentage of guys can sit there and go, all right, I'm just going to skip it. We'll try again next year.
Not
what, half of a percent.
Very tough spot for those kids. On this day, all the way back in 1954.
There's a long drive way back in center field, way back, back, it is caught! Willie Mays just brought this crowd to its feet with a catch, which must have been an optical illusion to a lot of people.
Maybe the most famous catch, or in fact, definitely the most famous yep. catch in baseball history from Willie Mays.
He claimed in the book that I just read, 24, not his toughest catch. He knew he was going to catch it the whole way. Like, he had that kind of confidence because he was so smart. One of the things that's so underrated about him is his intelligence of just, you see the athleticism in the play. Because, you know, you've seen it, right, Peter? Everybody's seen it. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's he of the intelligence of off the bat knowing where the ball was going to be. So he knew he could get there. And if he knows he can get there, he knows he's catching it. So he felt there were other plays in his career where he made tougher ones. They weren't in a World Series where the world was watching like that. But that was what's so underrated about Willie Mays, just how much smarter he was than everybody else.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.